Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, what's going on with Brett Kavanaugh? What can you do now that the Supreme Court has struck down the one part of the vaccine mandate and so much more? If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. You can email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support our show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. It's the day that I take your questions that you guys have emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. There's so much that we want to cover throughout the week. And sometimes our wonderful listeners, we have the best listeners on the planet, remind us of things that we missed or things that they want to hear more of. And that's why we take your questions here, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Okay, let's get right into it. Hello, Charlie and team. Greetings from South Central Los Angeles, home of the 92 riots, LOL. I want to begin by thanking you for your show. I live and work in a very liberal and maybe even leftist bubble. Your show makes me feel like I'm not alone or crazy. So once again, thank you. I'm subscribed to your podcast and I make small monthly contributions. Your show means a lot to me. Thank you. My question is it true that the vaccines were tested on aborted fetal cells? If so, where can I find this information? My job is now mandating the booster, and although they have accepted religious exemptions for some of my coworkers, I worry I will not be allowed one since I received my first two vaccines. I'm afraid of losing my income because I am the main source for my family. I'm willing to walk away if I need to, but I'm also afraid to put my family in a difficult situation. Also, do you happen to know of any jobs in L.A. that are more conservative-friendly? I know it's a long shot, but I thought I'd ask. Thank you once again, and I pray that your team has a healthy and prosperous year. Many blessings. Marcella, well, thank you for your monthly contributions at charliekirk.com/support. I want everyone listening to this just to think very deeply about what she just said and what she's asking. She's asking whether or not she should take a stand against her employer because she doesn't want to take a vaccine that has been struck down by the Supreme Court. And she's willing to lose her job. She is willing to put on the line her entire livelihood for standing for what is right. Now, so first of all, her question is, do I know any other employers in Los Angeles? I get this question all the time. I wish that there was a better way to connect employers. There was some sort of a company called Red Balloon or something that was connecting people that wanted to pursue jobs that were more focused on medical freedom. And so the issue at hand and the fundamental underlying component here that I think a lot of people miss is, why is it that there are employers that are continuing to push the vaccine despite what the Supreme Court has said, and despite the fact that it's more and more looking like an injectable therapeutic? Now, her direct question is asking, Marcella, your question is, you know, I'm afraid of losing my income. No one should be forced to choose between their medical freedom and their job. Let me say that again. No one should be forced to choose between their medical freedom and their job. But that's unfortunately the case. And we need to start to do a much better job of trying to find people that are under the constant threat of persecution, that are under the threat of losing their job, facing termination, because a boss doesn't like the medical decision that they embrace or that they might be taking. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4. The Supreme Court ruled that Biden's OSHA mandate was unconstitutional. What was amazing about the mandate, though, is it shows that it was unconstitutional not because of a vaccine mandate, but simply because they didn't go through Congress. So that opens the door for Congress to do vaccine mandates in the future. And the Supreme Court kind of did what the Supreme Court does best, which is come to some sort of moderate opinion and kind of taper around the edges. The Supreme Court, however, ruled incorrectly when it came to the Health and Human Services decision. Brett Kavanaugh, who is only a Supreme Court justice because of the coalescing of support within within conservatives who got behind him when he was falsely accused of being a gang rapist by Christine Blasey Ford. Brett Kavanaugh, who promised to be someone who defended the Constitution and defended liberty, decided to side with John Roberts, who is no major surprise there, to say that if you receive federal money, you could still mandate vaccines. So the OSHA mandate was blocked down by 6-3, and it blocked the Occupational Health and Safety Administration's sweeping mandate covering some 84 million employees. And the arguments were good. It shouldn't have been 6-3. It should have been 9-0. And now all of us, you're seeing article after article, for example, from care11.com. Yes, employers can still require employees to get vaccinated or tested for COVID-19 after Supreme Court ruling. The Supreme Court blocked a federal mandate requiring employees at companies with 100 or more workers to get the COVID-19 vaccine or undergo weekly testing. On Thursday, the Supreme Court blocked a federal vaccine mandate that required employees at companies with 100 or more workers to get vaccinated against COVID-19 or undergo weekly testing. And so basically the takeaway is that media companies are saying, no, you could still mandate the vaccine regardless of what the Supreme Court says. And that's technically true. But the question is, are you going to defy the Supreme Court's decision, Article 3 decision, to say that employers do not have to mandate the vaccine? And what exactly are we mandating the vaccine for? Is it to prevent transmission? Is it to prevent infection? No, the argument they make now is that it prevents severe hospitalization. But then it always needs to be properly held up in comparison. It needs to be held up against other potential treatments and therapeutics. And you're starting to see wavering from the top levels of the CDC. For example, Cut 4, Rochelle Walensky says, our vaccines are working exceptionally well, but what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. Now, we've covered in great detail how the definition of the vaccine changed. It's much more like an injectable therapeutic, that it is something that is less about trying to prevent you from getting something, such as measles, mumps, or rubella, or polio. And when you get people that go out there like Dr. Robert Malone, and they start to question the efficacy, and they start to question the science behind it, him being the inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology, they're met with a massive smear campaign from the top levels of our government. In Cut 105, a nurse talks about how they're seeing more and more kids die of the vaccine than of COVID. Play Cut 105.
My name is Colette Martin. I'm an RN of 17 years, 12 years oncology. In the past 5 years, I've been a float resource nurse to all the different floors in the hospital. I'm extremely concerned with the idea of mandating this vaccine for our children. The reactions we're seeing in the hospital with adults are terrifying, and they're being ignored. Just some examples of post-vaccine reactions are blood clots, heart attacks, strokes, encephalopathy, heart arrhythmias such as atrial fibrillation. I personally had a patient die 3 months after his vaccines of pericarditis, which we know is a known side effect, diagnosed 30 days after a shot, no mention to VAERS. Majority of our nurses, nurse managers, and some doctors do not even know what VAERS is. I've spoken to our chief of medicine, managers, other nurses on why we're not reporting to VAERS, and the most common response is, what is VAERS? We have chemotherapies that we know have side effects causing blood cancer, such as leukemia, in 10-plus years after giving the drug. We know this because we have real long-term trials on these drugs. We are not just seeing severe acute reactions with this vaccine, but we have zero idea what any long-term reactions are. Cancers, autoimmune, infertility, we just don't know. Our children are not even at risk for this. As of now, we have more children that's died from the COVID vaccine than of COVID itself.
Now, if that was the case, which very well might be, why are employers still mandating the vaccine? Well, thankfully, some are starting to push back. GE, General Electric, is saying no more. No more testing mandate, no more vaccine mandate. However, I do want to focus in on Brett Kavanaugh. We all rallied behind Brett Kavanaugh. Now medical healthcare workers are forced to defend themselves. They're forced to choose, like Marcella, who just emailed us, between their job and between taking an injectable therapeutic. Brett Kavanaugh would not be on the United States Supreme Court if it wasn't for the America First movement, for President Trump, and for all of you. And how does Brett Kavanaugh reward all of us? How does Brett Kavanaugh pay us back for having his back? He goes to go pander to the very same people that tried to call him a gang rapist. Right now, nurses and doctors and frontline healthcare workers across the country are being forced to choose because of Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh would have went to the other direction, the direction of Amy Coney Barrett. Thank you for your great ruling on this, by the way. Or to vote, even though it was a minority vote. Maybe she did a little bit of horse trading with Kavanaugh. I don't know. Horse trading is where they want to vote a certain way, but someone's willing to take the shot for somebody else. I don't know. Amy Coney Barrett, Gorsuch ruled correctly. Thomas ruled correctly. Alito ruled correctly. Why Brett Kavanaugh? Brett Kavanaugh believes just because you receive federal funding that you can force your employees to take a vaccine. The amount of rage that we have received at freedom@charliekirk.com towards Brett Kavanaugh is extraordinary. People are really upset, and they should be. I, for one, we did countless events, nonstop social media posts. We were relentless in trying to vindicate and exonerate Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh needed help. Brett Kavanaugh did not know how to fight the left, and guess what? He still doesn't. Brett Kavanaugh does not know how to fight the institutional left. So that here he is trying to pander to them. Why could Amy Coney Barrett and Gorsuch rule correctly and Kavanaugh could not? Just to be clear, though, Kavanaugh ruled correctly on OSHA. Kavanaugh let us all down, though, on taxpayer funding going through Health and Human Services, going through hospitals to force healthcare workers to take a vaccine, despite all the overwhelming evidence that it is not preventing transmission. And the CDC is even admitting that. No factors or exemptions for natural immunity, no carve-outs for people that might have religious or medical exemptions, very rarely are those approved. So what's Brett Kavanaugh thinking in this case? It's hard to know for sure. We can speculate. We can speculate that Brett Kavanaugh is trying to make peace with the polite society that came after him and attacked him. We can reasonably speculate that Brett Kavanaugh wants to be liked by the people that tried to destroy his life. And this is something that Dick Cheney has done. This is something that George W. Bush has done. Kavanaugh served in the Bush White House. Kavanaugh is part of that same sort of what they call themselves very high society conservatives. We read the great books and we believe in incremental change. Yeah, in 60 years from now, we might be able to have full school choice, for example. Brett Kavanaugh is not a movement conservative. We never thought he would be. One of the reasons why we rallied in defense and support of Brett Kavanaugh was because of Donald Trump's endorsement of him, was also because of the court's implications, and was also because Brett Kavanaugh had a pretty good record in the D.C. Circuit Court where he previously served before he became a Supreme Court justice. It's also because Brett Kavanaugh, when he gave his testimony in response to Kamala Harris and Cory Booker's attempt to destroy his life, it sure did organize conservatives, galvanized conservatives, to come to his defense. It united conservatives around, hey, this is a man who's being wrongly accused. And I still think he was being wrongly accused. I've not changed my opinion on that, nor will I ever, unless there's evidence that gets introduced that I don't foresee. No, but instead, Brett Kavanaugh, instead of remembering who his friends were, instead of remembering who his allies are, instead of looking to his partners that actually helped him be confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, he does the opposite. He says, thanks for playing. People wonder why there is so much rage at the American ruling class. This would be a good reason. When Brett Kavanaugh decides to poke the very people that put him in a position in the eyes. Now, it would be one thing if the decision was 7-2 and maybe there was a defector or two like Alito or Gorsuch or Thomas. The fact it was 5-4, the fact that Kavanaugh was the swing vote shows that all that hard work we put into to get Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, all that hard work was to give the vaccine mandate industry, the vaccine mandate lobby, more power. All that work that we put into trying to get him confirmed, trying to fight back against the lies, trying to vindicate him. Now we have a vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. The very same people that we were told were heroes, Brett Kavanaugh has turned his back on them. Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our democracy by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote, at the checkout line, and that is where massively important organizations called Second Vote come in. The courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. Check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. What if I told you Chick-fil-A is not all that you might think it is? Well, their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive. It doesn't happen for free. Please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's just $50 a year. But if you use promo code CHARLIE, you get 50% off. It's literally $2 a month, everybody. And you get 50% off the information you need to have before you make your next purchase. Do not buy products from people that hate you. Don't buy products from people that are funding the downfall of America. Join me, go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code CHARLIE today. Okay, next question. Hey, Charlie, I have a question. For 3 years, I've been teaching fifth and sixth grade girls class every Wednesday night at my church. And yesterday, I had three new girls come and they told me they were actually boys trapped in a girl's body. And they want to be called boys' names and that they are going to have surgery to become a man when they get older. I tried to tell them that according to the Bible, that wasn't right. And if God wanted them to be a boy, they would have made him a boy. I also talked to their parents about it, and they had no idea their daughters are saying anything like that. So that all that being said, I was wondering if you have any advice for me or any Bible verses or any books or anything I should read because I really want to try and help these girls best I can. I've never dealt with this before. Kayla. Yeah, that's an extraordinary question. I'd be very interested where Kayla is. So she runs a Bible class, fifth and sixth grade girls, Wednesday night at church. Three new girls come and they told her that they're actually boys trapped in a girl's body and the parents have no idea about this. So parents, let me just give you some advice. You need to be talking to your kids about this almost every single day. You need to be on top of this because in Oregon, and soon to be in California, gender reassignment surgery, the potential changing of who you are can be done with taxpayer dollars and without parent consent. You ask, are there any Bible verses or books I should read? There are a couple really good books. I'm going to try to find a couple that I can recommend for you. There was one in particular. It's like War on Girls or something of that sense. There's also another one called like The Transgender Delusion. I'll get the exact books for you. However, the Bible verses is, yeah, God created man and God created woman. I mean, that's pretty clear. God created woman out of man. You don't have to really overcomplicate that. And the entire alphabet mafia or the transgender movement is largely centered around this belief that you can change the unchangeable, that you could declare war on your immutable characteristics, and that regardless of your chromosomal structure, regardless of how God made you, you could become whatever you want. And now we have fifth grade girls who want to be boys. It is a moral imperative for parents to not just take a stand, but to clearly communicate to young girls as they get older, or young boys, it could go either way, that they're going to try to persuade you of these things. Arizona Christian University study shows that 40% of young people consider themselves to be gay, bisexual, or transgender. 40%. Kayla, thank you for your question. I'm at a loss for words. It's an unprecedented thing when you have three new girls come in. They say they're boys trapped in a girl's body, and they want to be called boys' names, and they're going to have surgery to become a man when they get older. Hi, Charlie. My name is Adeline. I'm a Christian, and I am homeschooled. I'm 11 years old, and I loved being homeschooled because I don't have to learn about all the nonsense. I am immunosuppressed, and I've had a liver transplant. I'm definitely not getting the vaccine. I've had COVID before, and I got over it in 2 days. My mom and I listen to you every day. I love what you're doing. I hope you read this and get back to me soon. So I don't know what the question is, but thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting us. I'm a big homeschooling advocate, as many of you know, and I'd like to make aware for you some Hillsdale resources, charlieforhillsdale.com, charliehillsdale.com. And so I encourage you guys to check that out. And we need to double, if not triple, the homeschooling population in America. It's increasing at great speed. Okay. Hi, Charlie. I'm 34 years old and have been teaching kindergarten at a public elementary school in rural Minnesota since college. As a conservative Christian male who loves sports, outdoors, and other typical male hobbies, I got an elementary education to serve God and give back to the youth of my community. Knowing full well I'd wind up as an outcast wherever I taught, even in rural Minnesota, that wound up being the case. My question to you is this. For teachers like myself, who love our students and everything inside our classroom walls, but quite literally despise and resent every other aspect of our jobs, the evil and corrupt people pulling strings in the union and public education in general, and the overall godless direction public schools have taken since they began, what do you believe is the best path forward for teachers? I was ready to walk away from my job over the vaccine mandate, but I'm left now feeling in my heart that I still want to walk away for broader reasons and anticipation for what comes next. Do you think it's time to reinvent myself with my other building or landscaping skills in another workforce? Or is this a fight we need to stay in? I am wrestling with which path can make a bigger impact and change the course of public education. Love to hear your thoughts, Charlie. Thanks so much, Steve. Look, I'm never going to tell anyone to quit their job. That's obviously a very dramatic set of circumstances that you're in and not a desirable one. Look, the question's a really important one. What do teachers do if they're outnumbered 10 to 1, 20 to 1, 30 to 1? Well, you're called to be a light then. You got to know your stuff. You're going to be mocked and you'll be maligned. But that doesn't mean that you should give up. I am not of the belief that every strong teacher that's in public school needs to quit just to go teach in private school. Now, it's not easy, no doubt. But there are still millions of kids that are going to go to public school no matter what. There are still millions of kids, tens of millions of kids. Parents will continue to trust the government schools. They'll send them to the government schools regardless of how bad they are. And some parents don't even have the ability to take their kids out of school. It's hard to take your kids out of school at times. To homeschool, it could be expensive. It could be a big burden. It can be a financial burden. It's not easy by any means whatsoever. However, we need teachers that are willing to dive deep into the ideas, become really good at communicating them to their students, and be willing to push back against some of the nonsense that is happening in public schools. I do not think we should abandon the public space, the public square. I don't. I do not think that we should abandon the public schools, I should say. If we do, we're only going to become two different countries a lot quicker. So to answer your question directly, what can you do? I'm wrestling with which path to make a bigger difference, change the course of public education. Yeah, try to be an administrator. Try to climb up the ladder if you can. However, I could tell you this, that the circumstance in front of us is bigger than just expanding the homeschooling population, bigger than just sending kids to private schools. We have to contest for the kids in public schools as well. Look, everyone out there has been asking me, Charlie, how do I get more pillows? Well, that's MyPillow.com. And MyPillow doesn't have their box stores anymore, so we got to help them out. And part of them being canceled, they want to give you the lowest price yet. So you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow regularly, $69.98. Now only $19.98 with the promo code. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, and $24.98 with a promo code. Or king size, usually $89.98, only $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to new beds. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Hello, Charlie. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple months, and I've learned a great deal. I've also enrolled in a couple Hillsdale online courses that you recommended to me and enjoy learning the content I don't recall being taught when I was in school 30-plus years ago. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. With all that being said, my question is in relation to my 24-year-old daughter's complication after the two Moderna shots. She has reached out to her primary provider and her gynecologist, and both are continuing to recommend she get the booster that is now being required for her job. Neither medical provider will consider providing her a medical exemption, nor will her gynecologist put her complications on theirs. I've listened to all doctors you have had on your podcast and wonder who my daughter may be able to reach out to provide proper medical care via telehealth appointment and possibly gain a medical exemption. Thank you so much for your guidance, Justice S. So she had complications after the two Moderna shots. Unfortunately, that is not an unprecedented email. We receive thousands of emails of people that have been harmed by the vaccine, particularly this new mRNA vaccine that has been developed by the pharmaceutical companies and pushed on the American people via mandates and public pressure and through a social credit system. You're asking, is there a doctor that could provide a medical exemption? Well, potentially Dr. Pierre Corey, who I encourage all of you guys to listen to our Saturday episode. It was amazing. Here on the Charlie Kirk Show. I think it was incredible, so I encourage you guys to check it out. And it's hard. Some of these doctors are so overwhelmed. However, I will also say that at flcc.net, I think that's right, flcc.net, frontline doctors, there is a telehealth network that very well might be able to help you. And so flcc.net, it's also covid19criticalcare.com. They have some resources that I think might be helpful to you and your daughter. Your daughter had a negative reaction complication to the two Moderna shots. Neither medical provider will consider providing her a medical exemption, nor will her gynecologist put her complications on VAERS. Now, VAERS is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, where we are supposed to see all the data of how many people have been damaged by the vaccine. Very factual. You could check it out for yourself. And when you go to the VAERS database, it's publicly established by Congress for this very purpose, numbers are typically very low, and they're not as, let's say, high as some would expect it. With this vaccine, though, that's for prior vaccines, it's incredible. For this vaccine, the numbers are off the charts. For this vaccine, it says, and these numbers are increasing dramatically, 9,623 deaths. Some say it's 15,000, 16,000, 45,960 hospitalizations. And we have thousands already in our email inbox. And we don't reach the whole country. We reach a big population. And not everyone is comfortable sharing their experiences. Steve Kirsch, I encourage you guys to check out his website, stephenkirsch.substack.com. He believes how to verify for yourself that over 150,000 Americans have been killed by the COVID vaccines. You guys can check out that website. That's stephenkirsch.substack.com. All right, we'll get to one more question. We had a little bit of an internet issue, unfortunately, at our studio, so we're going to have to make this AMA a little bit shorter than I would like, but you guys are amazing. You guys send in the best questions. We just have had such a editing crunch getting all this ready for you guys, but we always want to deliver for you on Monday morning with the content you need to be able to make sense of the news. Okay, let me see. One more question here. This question came, Charlie, if the Supreme Court knocks down the mandate, is Biden going to try to pack the court? I think I've answered this question in a previous AMA, but this is exactly why Biden wants to pack the court. Because the vaccine mandate has been rejected. The vaccine mandate has lost. And this is exactly why Joe Biden wants to try to pack the court. He wants to try to put as many of his allies on there as possible. He wants to try to stack it. He wants to try to fill it. And he doesn't want to have to deal with Clarence Thomas or Amy Coney Barrett or Alito or any of the people on the Supreme Court. So I would not be surprised if Joe Biden tries to continue to push for that. But thankfully, now that his Build Back Better bill is dead, his John Lewis Voting Rights Act isn't going to happen. I mean, there was a unbelievably just damaging article that was written by Axios. It says Biden's epic failures. Axios is kind of a tilting left publication. It says, in the 2 months since signing the $1 trillion infrastructure bill, Biden has been bombed big time in almost every single measure. Baffling COVID messaging. Bidenflation. Axios continues by saying rising anger among black activists and members of the civil rights group refused to appear with Biden in Atlanta. Supreme Court yesterday blocked Biden's vaccine or test mandate. Afghanistan pullout played about as poorly as it could have. Russia is messing with him. Inflation is soaring. Empty grocery stores get network news coverage. It's hard to believe anything he's doing right. At his 1 year anniversary of his presidency, unfortunately, the country is a total mess. It's not in a good spot at all. I want to thank you guys so much for supporting our show, charliekirk.com/support. We deeply appreciate it. And I want to, all of you that support us, it really does mean the world. When you get behind us, you allow us to hire more staff. You allow us to expand our operation, charliekirk.com/support. Also, make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and listen to all of our recent episodes. Cinema Saves the Filibuster and Nukes the Biden Agenda. Bidenflation is coming. Our conversation, our White Coat Summit, has been really extraordinary. The new era of conservative lawfare with Harmeet Dhillon. The unthinkable Democrat endgame to win the midterms. And why did Pelosi reject Trump's troop offer on January 6th, Kash Patel? You guys can check that out by taking out your podcast app and making sure that plus sign is checked in the upper right-hand corner. And of course, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. All right. God bless you guys. It's Monday, so I take your questions, and I've really enjoyed it. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.